cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Jesus entrusts a mission of healing to his church. Salvation is a healing process. The world offers false progress, a false human fulfillment, to wander off by yourself like a sheep who has no need of a shepherd. Don't follow or serve anyone but yourself until you find yourself lost, until you get hurt. Then too bad for you. I guess you were too weak. Only Jesus Christ and his church offer true progress with a clear direction that aligns with the direction we were made to travel, which is, and as we follow Christ, we experience his healing, both from the brokenness within ourselves and the brokenness created within us by the world. For unlike the world or the devil, the good shepherd always gives more than he takes. And the church, for her part, carries on this mission of healing in a variety of ways. We could think of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, visiting the sick, feeding the hungry, comforting the sorrowful. But to anticipate a bit my going away homily, there was some things here that I had initially intended to say with that, but I thought it'd be appropriate to talk about the sacraments of healing this morning. That one thing I have appreciated about my year here is the strong focus on the sacraments, that the Mass truly is the center of this parish, as it should be, and the Eucharistic presence of Christ here at the Mass and in our Adoration Chapel. And I'm also grateful for the large number of people who make confession a regular practice in their lives here, which has been a great blessing to this first year of my priesthood as well. And I hope that each encounter between you and Jesus in the sacrament of penance is an experience of healing. Jesus is the divine physician. Jesus is also the image of the Father. And the confessional is where, above all, I am called to be and to live as a father. And I know all of you call me father, but the lived experience is different for the children at the school versus the lifelong parishioner who comes to daily Mass versus the OCIA candidate, especially since I'm not a pastor. But in the confessional, I hope to be worthy of the name. And that's why I always pray to St. Joseph before going to the confessional or as I'm beginning, hoping that those who go there experience the Father's love and the love of St. Joseph. And I strive to be docile to the Holy Spirit there as well, to hear what he may wish to give a soul to help them on her path that day to holiness, to help take the next step towards healing and living in the freedom of the children of God. But I sincerely apologize for those times when I have listened to my own voice rather than the Holy Spirit, that there's always the risk in seeking to be docile to the Holy Spirit of making a mistake and following the wrong voice. And I know for a fact there's been times I've mixed up my psalm numbers, if nothing else, and chapter numbers. I know many of you probably never got used to my particular ministry as a confessor, and now I'm leaving and Father Isaac will do whatever he does, although we had the same professor for confession practicum. But on the one hand, my thought with some of the more creative penances, if you will, is the church encourages us to offer spiritual counsel. And on the one hand, and then on the other hand, it's a very limited time. But I know for a fact that the Word of God is living and effective. And if I can find a word that maybe he wishes to give you that day, then that will be much more powerful than anything that I could give you, any words that I could offer. For your part, and practically speaking, what makes for a good confession? Well, first and foremost, doing what is required. So listing mortal sins in number and kind. What you did and how many times. Do you need to number venial sins? No. And in fact, generally I would encourage you not to number venial sins. Also, practically, the penitent starts with the sign of the cross and says the amen at the end of absolution, although as priests, we'll fill that in if you don't. There's no worries. But in bringing our sins to Christ, we strive to do so with simplicity and humility, without guile. But there is no reason to hide what we did from the one who knows the depths of our hearts already and simply desires to remove all that would separate us from his love. On the other hand, there's no need to tell a story to the one who knows the whole story already either. That you are speaking to Christ, and we come to face him now as a physician and savior before we stand before him as a judge. Anything beyond number and kind, beyond what the church requires, I can't speak in universals because every soul is unique. But some of what follows may apply to you, some of it may not. But once we are making a valid confession, the next step is to list the venial sins in kind. So maybe going beyond a little, naming one of the seven deadly sins, or I broke the commandments, to how was I prideful? Well, refusing to admit I was wrong or ask for help or judging others or whatever the case might be. Or going still further, one might say, why? Not to make an excuse, but simply to acknowledge, because I was impatient, because I refused to deny my curiosity, or I resented God asking this from me, or I've just been lazy and I've lost the discipline that supported my fidelity to Christ in this area this week. And finally, to say not only what we have done, but what we have failed to do. And the knowledge of ourselves, the knowledge of our sins, is always a gift of the Holy Spirit. So there are many confessions that will be routine, and that's fine. There's many of my confessions that are routine. I go every week. But the more that we practice humility, the more humble we become. So the more we practice humility, the more humble we become. And the sacrament is a concrete practice of humility, a denial of ourselves for the sake of our relationship with God. And there is no question that it is often difficult. And so, again, I hope that I have respected that fact. But if for any times I have not, again, I'm sorry. But unfortunately, sometimes humility is gained through humiliation. Jesus wanted another way, but the cross was his path. And it was not only painful, but it was humiliating in public. But the more that we choose to trust God in the concrete practice of giving our sins, our faults to him, the more that we actually trust God interiorly. So we make that choice, and then our will follows from that choice and that practice. And we always, as we seek to know ourselves better on our own journeys, Jesus always leads us slowly, gradually, and we approach him with trust in his goodness, his truly unconditional love, that he does not judge, he does not criticize, he hates sin, but never the sinner. And so the other side of growing in self-knowledge and humility is that scrupulosity does not make a better confession. Scrupulosity always involves a focus on the self that causes the soul to lose sight of God and of what he actually desires for us, which is our good. Our Father desires to give good things to us and take from us all that would separate us from him. That's why Jesus sends out the apostles to bring the kingdom of God. And so first, scrupulosity for men is generally an obsession with purity. And I don't just mean with sins against lust, but this idea that somehow if I just try harder and discipline myself more, that I can save myself or free myself from my sin. And with women, it's generally an obsession with hypocrisy or what other people think or what they would think if that here I am again, or what God thinks or what Father thinks. But I can assure you, all of you, that as I've been learning to be a confessor in my first year of priesthood, there's one thing I want all of you to take away from this homily about confession. It's this, that anyone, man or woman, who wants to uproot sin from their soul, not because of shame, not because they want to feel better about themselves, right, but because they want to love Jesus, be more faithful to his grace, because they want to remove everything from their soul that is not of Christ so that his love can fill their soul. When someone comes with that approach, it really does not matter what their sins are, big sins, little sins, whether they've been to confession last week or it's their first one in 10 years, that is just a beautiful moment. And then briefly, the sacrament of anointing of the sick, that other sacrament of healing, that I don't have time to go into the theology of that, talked long enough, but the main thing is to call a priest. If you're in a situation where you're in the hospital, especially those who are older or those needing a major surgery, anything where they're working on one of your organs, so maybe not the taking out your wisdom teeth, but any surgery, that's a moment to receive that sacrament of anointing of the sick. And it is given when there is a risk of death, right? Not only when death is imminent, but the head and the hands are anointed, which is consecrating a person's work to the Father, to God, so that either they can return to their work, continue the work God has planned for them after being healed, or that their life, their works, their life's work can be consecrated and cut free of all attachment to sin, so that they may meet God face to face, anointing the head and the hands. And that oil used is blessed during the Eucharistic prayer. It's kind of an unusual thing. Bishop leaves the altar in the middle of the Eucharistic prayer to bless this oil so that they can return to the community here at Mass to receive communion here, or enter the true wedding feast of heaven that Mass anticipates. And then those who are elderly are eligible to receive this sacrament as well. So certainly anyone over the age of 75, I would say, the church law is, I believe, 65. Or those other situations where maybe you've noticed your memory start to deteriorate or something like that, where it's not what we think of as life-threatening immediately, but certainly something to seek out that sacrament of healing. Jesus entrusted a mission of healing to his church. Salvation is healing, and he is still healing souls today in many ways, in the secrecy of human hearts, but in particular in the sacraments of healing. So may we experience his healing in ourselves, that we may go closer to him day by day, week by week, and year by year.